Okay, so we're here with Matt Whitcomb, women's coach of the U.S. women's team. And the women were just up at their camp in Alaska, and the men joined them up there, not at the same time, but they were there just afterwards. And that followed their Bend camp, and then they're heading off to Lake Placid for another camp. And we're going to find out how the team's been doing. Are you on the other line, Matt?
I am, yeah. How are you doing, Benjamin?
Hey, everything's going great. We're excited to chat with you, and we really appreciate getting those photos of the team. And we talked with Andy Newell before they headed up, and he said the women left town as soon as they arrived, and that was kind of like a little joke. I know that the team's kind of seesawed there. Why don't you tell us a little bit first about the Bend camp, and then tell us what happened in Alaska.
Yeah, so we had a great camp in Bend. The snow is generally exceptional with regards to what we're looking to accomplish, and we're trying to get better at skiing in tricky conditions. So it's a nice opportunity to test Clister skis, test Zero skis, and ski in a variety of conditions, including very fast skating and even slop. So from our perspective, it's ideal. Yeah, if you want to feel good out there skiing, we could use some colder temps and better freezes at night, but we'll keep going back as long as the conditions stay tricky for us. Big technique focus this year, spending a lot of time looking at World Cup footage from the most recent season. Just with the Olympics starting a new quadrennial here, we're trying to make sure we're current on technique and we're not missing any subtle changes that are happening with any of the race winners or any of the top nations out there. And I feel like we've had a good couple of camps so far. So we just got back from Alaska, and feeling really good about things. A couple small injuries. Everything is in general at bay. Nothing that's keeping anybody back from training right now. Everybody's training full swing. Jesse did trip heading to an ice bath, little swimming hole, and got 6 or 7 stitches in her knee, but no bone contusion, no long lasting bruises. And she was, I think we had to modify 1 or 2 workouts, but never really had to miss anything. And then Sophie's elbow, she had sustained a hairline fracture from straight arming a mountain bike crash in Bend. Kind of one of those zero speed, can't clip out of the pedals, and you just stiff arm it. And her elbow fractured mildly. She's training 100% capacity using both poles now, and during the Alaska camp, we got full range of motion with help from one of our PTs, Susanna Rogers. So that was a huge success.
That sounds good. I had heard about Sophie's mountain bike mishap, but I hadn't heard about Jesse. So it's good to hear that both of them are back on the dance floor, so to speak.
That's right.
and ready to keep going. You know, like I said, I talked with Andy first, and just before they headed up to the glacier. And so this is the Nauta camp, which has, of course, been going on for a while, which is a great idea. Tell us a bit about that and conditions on the glacier.
Yeah, so Nauta is the acronym for North American Women's Training Alliance. And we had no Canadians at it this year, and that's not by design. It's just kind of the way it worked out. I know they did some restructuring this year. I would like to get them involved in the future again. And so we modified the acronym internally a bit to Norwegian American Women's Training Alliance, and just continued plugging hard. Had a very similar camp. We get a ton of out of having Canadians at a camp, as I know they do, by having our involvement in their sessions. But we also get a lot from having our guest athletes like Celine Brunli from the Norwegian national team. She joined
sure.
us this year, and that was a huge success. She was a good friend of some of the athletes on the team already, and now she's a great friend of 13 American women.
Yeah, sure. We had heard that Celine was there, and you guys have kept up the international kind of rite of passage there, and it's great to see the exchange there. I know I spoke with Andy about a camp that he had done. It was the Norwegians, and I know Devin Kershaw spent some time over there. So it's just great to have the cross-pollination. And the comments we've had from some of them is also interesting to hear, and just to see the differences and how each can sort of improve sharing these ideas. How was the snow up in the glacier?
it was great. It was, you know, kind of similar to my comments about the Bend snow. We don't go to Eagle because it's just super fast skating and extra blue conditions. It can be very tricky. It can be anything from very fast and just hero snow that makes anyone look like a good cross-country skier to some of the most challenging conditions. And again, that's why we go there. We go there to get better skiing and the tricky stuff. And in Alaska in particular, the time of year when we go there, it tends to be just great clister skiing. So we've had years where we're on zeros a little bit, even a little bit of hard wax in the morning if we can get away with it. But in general, it's just a great opportunity to work on that clister ski testing and also just clister kicking technique. It's a difficult opportunity, or it's a rare opportunity on some seasons. Last year we used a ton of clister. The year before we used hardly any, and we feel any chance we have we can practice that, we're gaining.
Yeah, absolutely. Clister conditions are always tricky and not an easy application, and something to always learning tricks of the trade along the way. The dry land camps in Alaska, talk a bit about them and some of the training you did. I know I was I think I was speaking to one of the gals and they were really excited about some of the training they've been doing.
Yeah, we had some great sessions. Again, there were about 14 women, give or take one or two every day. It's a U.S. ski team camp that's hosted by Alaska Pacific University. And so the best APU athletes, or I should say most successful skiing APU athletes, are in attendance, as well as some guest skiers that we invite. Erica Flowers, Chelsea Holmes, Caitlin Gregg, you know, from SMS, sure. Sun Valley, and Team Gregg, respectively. As well as Celine Burley, and then some APU athletes. I think that about rounds out the 14. I hope I didn't miss any. But just a great training group every day in which a different set of strengths is expressed in each workout. So if it's a bounding session, there are a few girls that rise to the front with regards to power, technique, fitness. If it's a skate threshold session, perhaps a few different girls rise to the front. And it's generally the case where everybody has a strength that they can lead with at some point during the course of the camp. Mm-hmm. As a developing skier, that may be just a quick flash of a moment where you have a chance to lead an interval. But it is really cool and very beneficial to the group when we have so many of these strengths taking turns leading at the front of the pack, so to speak. So.
Sounds like it was a good session and, you know, good interaction between the ladies. You know, it's got to make you feel good just seeing how the whole program has blossomed. I mean, I remember talking with Keegan, I mean, not so many years ago, but being a solo rider or skier. And now you've got a good group of gals and you know, also just growing across the country. That's going to make you feel good.
Yeah, it does. But it's also as quick as something comes together, it can fall apart three times faster. So we're looking to make sure that we're bringing more development athletes when they're ready to these camps. And that is one place that I'd like to go next year, just making sure that next tier is being put in place before we experience a wave of retirements a few years down the road. So we're looking to start filling the ranks again. We've had this core group of six or seven women leading the World Cup now for a few years, and it's going to be important that we are proactive in keeping fresh, developing talent in the pipeline. So National J2 camp just finished in Jackson Hole with about 50 U16 athletes, and mm-hmm. and it's that kind of stuff where we're looking to see who's coming through, who's developing, who's motivated. And it's some exciting stuff happening in U.S. cross country right now.
Yeah, no, it's very well said, Matt. To you know, you've got a good thing going, but like you said, it can fall apart if you don't keep your eye on both ends of the scale. And great to see, you know, Sophie had a great great year, and so did Sadie Bjornsson. But you got to look back at the girls coming in and on both sides, the men and the women. So very important viewpoint. talk about what's going to happen now between now and the Placid Camp and then the Placid Camp.
Yeah, so athletes are generally at their clubs right now training. Liz is finishing up a camp with the Norwegians where she was able to attend the Blink Festival. Keegan was in Ontario with the in-laws for a couple of weeks. And so everybody's kind of doing their own thing right now. I know Jesse was in, I think, Thunder Bay with her folks and sister. And so just not resting, but training very hard, but just getting in some family time and some time with the club programs before we head to this next training camp in Lake Placid.
Yeah, just speaking about Liz, she won the hill climb at the Blink Festival, which is great to see. And she certainly got that in her legs, and she's quite the climber. And I think also Lowell Bailey from the U.S. biathlon team, he was also on the podium. So nice to see that kind of stuff happening off season.
It is exciting, and you know that Benjamin. That's one of the benefits of this opening up these doors internationally. When you have Celine and Iko and Astrid Jakobsen over to this camp, it opens up doors for us as well. With regards to international travel, Keegan spent much of June in Finland training with Iko, and Liz over there training with Astrid and Celine and Marta Kristoffersen, and among others. And it's a two-way street. We're not just inviting people here. It really does open up the entire World Cup to us. And so it's a deliberate strategy, one that we feel we do a fair bit of sharing. In order to gain some benefits, and it makes it fun.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is an international sport, so it doesn't only have to be international during race season. It can be international during the off season too.
And like that's right.
Like you said, it's paying dividends. So coming up to the Placid Camp, what's that one going to be all about? And then what happens after that?
Placid's a little bit earlier than it has been. It's been kind of creeping up in the calendar for the last few years. This year it's August 25th to September 8th. It may or may not include the climb to the castle, depending on the status of the road. That's always kind of a fun event.
Sure.
For the athletes to test their climbing skills in. But we will have a camp there. It will be a little less focused on intensity. The sessions will be more about developing capacity rather than generating just tremendously competitive sessions. Yeah, we'll still have a time trial each week. You have to take advantage of the group being together.
Sure.
But being in Lake Placid, late summer, early fall, is just a phenomenal experience. So looking forward to it.
Yep, that sounds good. So after that camp, is that the last camp that the team will have together?
No, we'll meet October 5th for a quick fast and female, and then a camp in Park City until the 20th. And then we'll return to Canmore for Frozen Thunder. So we'll be Frozen Thunder from the 20th of October to the 29th. And we'll do a couple of the races that the Canadians are hosting, some good on snow and some good dry land training. So looking forward to that. It's been successful for us. So the pattern for the team, as you can see, is Bend, Alaska, Canmore, with a few individual exceptions here and there, but 3 1-week touches on snow seems to be enough to keep developing as a cross-country ski racer. So a bunch of different ways to do it. We've used New Zealand in the past. We've used Ramsau. We've used Sognefjell. But it's those regular touches on snow that I believe really helps the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Just talking about Canada, you know, there's a lot coming down the in the future with big races coming to North America, which has got to be good for you know, the team itself and all development skiers that are looking to move up the ladder, right?
It does, yeah. We look at those World Cup starts in Canada as a big opportunity for us. We're trying to find ways that we can add to the calendar ourselves here in the U.S., but we're a little ways out from that. But
well, no problem. It's in any event, it's all part of the way the game rolls out, and so it sounds like things are going well, Matt. You guys had a pretty good season overall. I mean, Keegan with her third globe in a row, and great results from Sophie and Sadie, and You know, the team overall has done well. Of course, we all know Sochi wasn't what it was hoped to be, but that's behind us now. We look at the next quadrennial and, like you said, see how to improve and fine-tune. We want to thank you for spending time with us here at Ski Tracks and wish you guys all the best going forward, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in Placid.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Benjamin and Ski Tracks and all the fans out there. Appreciate it. You're helping push us.
Well, we're encouraged by what you're doing as well, so all the best going forward.
All right, take care.
Thank you.